I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome into another episode of The Memo. It is Monday, December 7th, 2015, and welcome to a new week. Brad Locke here with you, along with W. Derek Russell. W stands for winner.
Feels like a Monday.
It kind of does.
Terrible.
Yeah, pretty much. I overslept, which is a great way to start the week.
When you say overslept, what did you do?
Instead of getting up at 5:45, I got up about 6:30. Yeah, but then I got to run kids to school in the middle of posting content. I can't post content from my phone while driving. It's illegal.
They didn't see what I was doing. You're the one that...
Well, you
just pigeonholed yourself.
I'm saying I can't do that, and I don't.
Okay. Well, good for you.
But anyway.
Good for you.
I made it to the 9 o'clock meeting, so that's something.
That is something.
Yeah.
Not everybody can always say that they do that every morning.
No. So, how about you?
Good for you. I did not make it to the 9 o'clock meeting this morning, but that's okay.
As we know, you've been a busy boy.
I was here late last night, too, so...
It's no fun.
It's acceptable on Monday mornings for me to not always hit the 9 a.m. morning meeting.
We didn't need you there anyway.
Probably not. Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? On that note, won't be there next week either.
We'll still get a paper out tomorrow.
That's fine.
No.
I got the paper out for today, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true. You did your job.
Yeah. That's what I do on Sundays, make sure there's a paper in people's driveway on Monday morning.
And in today's paper, you can read about the bowl games. Ole Miss and State are going bowling, as we expected.
Yeah, we didn't have it any other way. Mississippi State headed to the Belk Bowl.
Yeah, which I think used to be the Meineke Car Care Bowl, which I don't know what it was before that. I can't remember.
Could have been the McCrae's Bowl.
Could have been.
The Parisian Bowl.
Dillard's Bowl.
Dillard's. The Macy's Bowl.
State will play NC State, the Wolfpack, in that one on December 30th. And then, of course, Ole Miss going to the Sugar Bowl for the first time since the days of Archie and John Vaught.
45 years?
Something like that. 1970, which it's a New Year's Day bowl, so I guess 45, 46 years.
Oh, my nose is bleeding trying to do that math this early.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. It was before any of us in here were born, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, almost not you. But
yeah, about 5 years. That's give or take.
Almost.
Yeah. So Ole Miss headed to the Sugar Bowl to play Oklahoma State. By the way, my in-laws, huge Oklahoma State fans.
Oh, yeah?
So.
But you don't pick a team, so
I don't really care, but just, you know, keeping the peace. My wife's an OK State fan. I may just wear my OK State shirt.
I'm in for a Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. That's always fun.
I wish I could go cover that. Parrish Alford will be there. Lucky guy. Haven't been to New Orleans since, I guess they had the SEC basketball tournament there back in 2011 or 12. I went down there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Had a good time.
I think I've been once since Katrina.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the only time I've been since Katrina. I went once before it happened.
I'll be there for Christmas.
Our producer here.
Yeah, you're from down there.
Born and raised. A product. Were you born there?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, all right.
So Ole Miss plays Oklahoma State on New Year's Day in New Orleans at the Superdome. So that'll be a fun game. Oklahoma State, always a fun team to watch. Ole Miss has been a fun team to watch, 9-3 on the season. Ended up number 12 in the final college football playoff rankings that were released on Sunday. And speaking of those rankings, top four teams make the playoffs. And after how things shook out on Saturday, no real surprise how it ended up. You've got Clemson remaining at number one, so they will play in one national semifinal against Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Eve. And also that day, the other semifinal is Michigan State, which pulled off the late win against Iowa in the Big Ten Championship. They'll take on the Tide of Alabama.
And in the newsroom, you can already hear some scuffling going on between...
Yeah, Lauren Wood, a big Michigan State fan, and news editor Justin Whitmore, they're dating.
He's a huge Alabama fan.
How you just broke that.
Breaking news. I mean, if they have a problem putting that on the air, we can edit it out. Otherwise, you know, it's not like they're trying to keep it a secret. You know how many couples we have at this place?
Don't look at me when you say that.
I know, but I'm saying Scott and Michaela Morris. Used to have Mark and Sandy Beeson. Were here a long time ago.
Jenna and Charlie.
Jenna Parsons, Charlie Langford, yeah. A lot of couples here, so... It's
You're giving away all the secrets.
Atmosphere of love at the Journal. Lots of love at the Journal. Now,
would you quit looking at me when you say things like that? That's the second time
I've told you. I just periodically need to feel like I need to. I was looking at Chris. I thought I'd look at you back and forth.
Your periodic movements are odd.
I could just do this the whole time.
The emphasis of which you're putting your eyes on.
I'm just rotating my head every half second between you and Chris.
I mean, I love you like a brother, but.
Let's not get crazy.
And older. Just
kidding.
Older brother.
Shut up. Yeah, well.
And as far as Mississippi State goes, that will be on December 30th.
Yes, in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
I think we're 1-0 against them? 1-1 against North Carolina?
NC State beat the Bulldogs in the Peach Bowl back in late 90s.
So we're 1-1 because we beat them one time, too.
I think that's right.
Pretty sure.
So. It's in the story that Logan wrote, so you can read it at djournal.com.
It'll be 2-1 after December 30th.
Oh, making the prediction already. Could be Dak Prescott's last game as a Bulldog. Then on to the NFL for him, I'm sure. Speaking of football, what a finish in Oxford at the 5A state championship high school game. I know y'all didn't see it, but I watched the last quarter plus. And Oxford Chargers in the state title game, third year in a row, and came up short to Wayne County, 45-41. Had two shots at the end zone at the end and came up literally inches short. I watched the replays multiple times, slow motion. Looks like the refs got the calls right. The Metcalf reach on that last play was not quite as close as the one before that when Jack Abraham, the quarterback, reached for the pylon, hit the pylon, but it kind of looked like his foot dragged out of bounds just before he hit it, and you look at it in slow-mo. That could have gone either way.
And broke his collarbone on the play.
Broke his collarbone. And then
Brent Speck's column said today.
Yeah, Speck wrote a good column on that, and then stayed in for the next snap. And pitched it to Metcalf. And Wayne County, hey, give him credit, made the plays at the end. So congrats to Johnny Hill on a great career, the Oxford head coach retiring after that game. Would have liked to have seen him go out with the championship. Felt bad for him and that team.
Yeah.
They were a fun team to watch this year. But anyway, so that's it for high school football. It's over. It ended in dramatic fashion. That was the final game of the season. So now we just focus more on the college football. As we mentioned, Ole Miss and State in bowl games. Read those stories in today's Journal. And they'll have a podcast coming up this week, I'm sure. Double coverage on Thursday.
Speaking of high school football, college football, we got a couple of podcasts on each.
You got that one on Thursday, doublecoverage.djournal.com, and the new high school podcast, Chris. We debuted it last week as a webcast. We'll have it in podcast form soon enough. But Gene Phelps probably will again be hosting with yours truly on Wednesday. So that'll be fun. We'll
keep a webcast this week just so people can find it more easily. So look Wednesday at djournal.com.
Yeah, we'll look more closely at these state championship games from the past weekend on that, and looking ahead to some basketball and whatever else. So anyway, as for today, we've got a good show. We've got Emma Kent on the show. We've got Bobby Harrison, and we've got Crime Reports. Got some good ones this week.
I'm excited.
Got some really good ones.
Oh, I meant about Emma and Bobby, not so much about your crime report.
No, okay.
I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Emma Kent joining us now, our resident education expert. Emma, how are you doing?
I'm good, Derek. How are you?
Is it Emma Crawford Kent or Emma Kent?
You can just call me Emma Kent.
I don't want to get it wrong. I get yelled at.
I just kept, the Crawford in there just because, I don't know. I don't know who I am.
So all your fans,
it's a whole identity thing. You'll work it out.
So you got to keep your brand for all your fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you fans out there.
It's all about branding.
Brad would know. He has so many. We're talking about Excel by 5 and the fact that Lee County has been awarded the certification after several years of working towards this process. Tell us a little bit about what went into this.
Yeah, so it's kind of an intensive process. You kind of have to just, all the resources that Lee County has for kids ages 0 to 5 had to kind of be pulled together into working together to, different child care centers had to meet certain qualifications to be part of the certification. And then also they made like a resource guide for area people, had health fairs and had workshops for parents and for child care workers, getting them trained. So just a lot of training, really, I guess. I don't know exactly how to put it, but a lot of preparation so that to get all the community's resources kind of up to par and working together so that when they do get certified, now that they have been certified, they're ready to help the kids out in the community.
So with the certification, I mean, this goes hand in hand with the parents as well as the children, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it's for the parents and the children, you know, it's giving the parents these resources that they can know how to create good starts for their kids. You know, they can see what they can do at home for their kids to get them ready to start kindergarten, you know, if that's reading to them or doing lessons with them at the grocery store. I mean, just there's all kinds of things that parents can do to get their kids ready to start kindergarten and to get everybody kind of on a level playing field and, you know, ready to go and have a good school career.
And it's good to do this in our own backyard because Excel by Five is a Mississippi-only organization.
Yeah, it is. And so Lee County is the 23rd community in Mississippi to be certified. So. And there are several others in the works. I know Pontotoc County is currently working on a certification. I think there's some others in Northeast Mississippi, too.
What's the time? I mean, the time frame, like you said, Lee County, 3 years. Why does it take so long to achieve this?
Well, it depends on the size of the community and how many resources they have. But in Lee County, there's a lot of it's a big area, first of all. But then there's a lot of child care centers in those places have to get together and up to par. Like they have to have their employees trained and there has to be they have to meet certain standards. And so when you have a lot of those, it takes longer to get everybody on the same page and get everybody together. And then you have two school districts. And so you've got more people to work with. So that's why it took longer for Lee County.
Okay. Anything else we need to know, Emma?
I don't know. I mean, it's a cool program and it's a cool thing for Lee County, especially just because of the focus on education here and just good school districts. So I think this will make it even stronger.
Great. All right, Emma, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Well, talking about the youngsters benefiting from education in Excel by Five, they can also benefit by coming to the Daily Journal this week and meeting Santa Claus.
Santa's coming to town.
The real one. I talked to him last night.
You did?
How's he doing? I did, yeah. They were, when his elves were up here creating the Wonderland in our lobby for him to himself on as the children come and visit, starting today from 4 to 6 p.m., at the Daily Journal at 1242 South Green Street. Also again tomorrow at 4 to 6 p.m. And then Wednesday, December 9th from 3 to 5 p.m. So, it was there was a lot of holly jolly cheer going on up in here last night.
Nice. Sorry I missed it.
Yeah. It was like a Christmas movie. I just looked over at one point and small people were, you know, the elf hats were just running around the cubicles. You couldn't see them. You could just see the hats running by and lights going up, and they do it quickly. I mean, this is not their first rodeo.
Oh, obviously not. So is there like an age cutoff for the kids to come see Santa?
No, you could sit on his lap, Brad. It's
okay, so that's pretty much what I wanted to know. Yeah. I know I'm 40 now, but
that's fine.
You know, I still got a wish
children
list.
Children of all ages.
And you get a free picture.
Children at heart.
You do get a free picture you can get from the Daily Journal's website, free downloadable photos.
Free pictures with Santa.
Also coloring books.
A lot of places you got to pay for those Santa pictures.
Yeah.
Which is why you got moms taking bad pictures with their cell phones. Don't have to do that.
That's okay. No, don't have to worry about the getting it and the thing.
Critical.
Nobody can see what I'm doing. It's like Brad posted stuff in driving this morning. He shouldn't have been doing that.
I was not doing that.
You can't prove that you weren't.
You can't prove I was. Burden of proof's on you, pal. You're making an accusation.
You spit on me.
Pal.
Proof.
Your pal. Peas.
Proof, pal.
Glad we have windscreens on these mics. Did you go to the Christmas parade Friday night?
Did not make it.
Did you take the kids to
go anywhere, especially with a baby and it was kind of cold.
We went and I threw things at the Daily Journal float as they went by. So.
Good.
I believe Rod was dressed as a giant snowman.
He was.
I thought that was him. He seemed even taller.
I wish I'd seen that.
Jacob was a tree.
I saw Jacob and Emma and Lauren and Riley and Jenna were there as well. So Riley had Lucy, his dog.
Aw, cute.
So it's a good time.
Good deal.
Unseasonably warm for a Christmas parade. I was in a t-shirt.
It's going to be unseasonably warm this week,
62
apparently.
Today, I believe.
Something
was
like
the
that. It's going to be up in the 60s most of the week for highs. So. Yeah. Not really getting me in the Christmas mood.
Well, with it getting warm out, more people driving. I don't know if those two are correlated or not, but for the purpose of this segue, they are.
It's a pretty terrible segue. You want to try that again?
Shut your mouth over there.
Edit that out.
And no, I don't. I want to leave it just the way it is. Okay. Let's talk about potholes a little bit.
Well, Mississippi's got plenty of them.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Jackson is a living pothole.
Yeah, it's going to be a big issue. It could be a big issue come this next legislative session. We're going to have Bobby Harrison in here now to talk with us about it a little bit. Okay, Bobby, how's it going, man?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Good, good. Bobby Harrison, our Jackson Bureau reporter, joining us here for a few minutes. Going to talk about highways and bridges, Bobby. That could be a big topic coming in the coming legislative session, couldn't it? What's kind of the feeling down there about how that's going to be addressed?
Well, Brad, for the past few years, several years, the Department of Transportation officials and a lot of other groups have complained that the state is falling way behind on infrastructure, rural bridges, bridges on state highways, and then just keeping up the state highways themselves. That the state's falling way behind because they don't have the resources to take care of the things they need to take care of. This year, the Mississippi Economic Council, which is in essence the state's Chamber of Commerce, has been working on a plan that is supposed to spell out the needs in the state and also some options to take care of those needs. And they're going to release that plan on the 18th. Their hopes is that it would be taken up during the 2016 legislative session that begins in January, and there'll be a comprehensive plan developed in 2016 during this four-year term to address the state's infrastructure needs.
What are some of the major issues? I mean, just a matter of substandard bridges and roadways and whatnot?
That's right. And, you know, people who, you know, earn to know say that the state's highways are not being maintained to the level they should be maintained. And when you don't do that, they get progressively worse. And the longer you wait to fix them, when they get progressively worse, the more it costs to fix them. The people in the know say they're just doing patchwork maintenance instead of just doing overall comprehensive maintenance that would prolong the life of the highway. The main issue is that the primary source of state revenue is a little bit over 18 cents per gallon tax on gasoline. And through the years, that source of revenue has not grown. There's more cars and more people driving now than that when that tax was put in effect in 1987. But the issue is that now cars are so much more economical that, you know, whereas in like 1987, cars might have averaged 12 miles a gallon or 15 miles a gallon. Now they're averaging 25 miles per gallon. So not taxing the sale, you're taxing the gallon of gasoline used. So it's just not bringing as much revenue as it did when the tax was originally put in place. And of course, the tax was put in place in 87 as part of the comprehensive AHEAD 87 highway program, which was sort of a grassroots effort put together by business leaders and others. AHEAD, advocating highways for economic.
Advocating highways for economic advance and development. It's called AHEAD. Is the acronym.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you saving me on that. But at any rate, that was done in 87, and they used that 18 cent per gallon tax on gasoline to four-lane more than 1,000 miles of highways across the state, including many in Northeast Mississippi. Such, you know, Highway 78 was finished as part of the AHEAD program, so was Highway 45. But now they're hoping, some people are hoping this, what the MEC comes up with this month and is considered by the legislature, will be the next AHEAD program, so to speak. And, you know, it's interesting to note that in 87, the program was passed through the leadership of really a lot of Northeast Mississippians, because the highways and back then were so bad in Northeast Mississippi, you were literally taking your life in your hands to drive to Memphis on a, you know, two-lane Highway 78. But, you know, Billy McCoy, former House Speaker, was a key in passing that program, as well as John David Pennebaker, a lawmaker from New Albany, who was at the time chairman of the House Transportation Committee. And they played key roles. They passed over the veto of then-Governor Bill Lane, and, you know, got this interesting dynamic going into 87 into the 2016 session, in that most people think that this the state needs more revenue, which means, you know, some type of tax increase to pay for this highway program. At the same time, the legislative leadership is talking about reducing taxes in other areas. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic that plays out over the 2016 session, and it may go into sessions past then, but, you know, that's kind of what we're facing going into the 2016 session.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Bobby, with the Republican leadership kind of looking like they may want to cut taxes. Is this going to be one of those pitched partisan battles now over this issue just because of the tax question?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Brad, is that MEC, Mississippi Economic Council, is viewed as, you know, they're nonpartisan. At least they strive to be nonpartisan, and most times, you know, they sort of fall down on both sides of the fence. But, you know, they have a history of working with the leadership, whether it's the, you know, Republican leadership or the Democratic leadership. And some people argue that their membership, you know, business leaders from across the state, is much more Republican than it is Democrat. So, and some of these same business leaders who are in the MEC also want to eliminate the business franchise tax. So, you know, you can see a dynamic where, this is really just me speculating here, where you could have tax cuts on one end and tax increases on another end, and some type of trade-off where more money went to transportation, but money was taken out of the general fund. I mean, if the people who are, you know, who study this, and I haven't studied it to the extent these people are, but they claim, and a lot of people outside of transportation have studied this and said, you know, there's just not enough money coming into the Department of Transportation right now to do what needs to be done. So you got to get more money from some places. Steve Holland said, there's no a pot at the end in the rainbow. It's probably going to take additional revenue, or at the very least, this is really thinking far ahead, but you know, you think about it, you're going to have cars on the road in the future that don't even use gasoline or use very little gasoline. You already have that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And you know, we got to have a state has to have a mechanism to tax those drivers should just not get a free ride on the roads. I mean, they're better for the environment, but they are putting wear and tear on the roads just like any other vehicle is, so they should pay for that. So it's, at the very least, the state's system of taxing vehicles needs to be looked at and updated to meet the changing technology.
You can read more about this story from Bobby in the Daily Journal. That was in Sunday's edition. Also at djournal.com. Bobby, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Okay. Real quick before we move on, let's give you all a quick reminder about Thrive Marketing, full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. I use Thrive.
You do?
I do, for my blog, tipsheet.djournal.com. Hey. Speaking of which, hey, it's Monday. There's your segue.
I got your segue right here.
You've ridden a segue before. I haven't, so what's your excuse? You should know more about
good they're segues. Spelled differently.
I know.
It's fine.
Have you ever stolen a Segway?
No, I haven't.
Then you could be on the crime report.
If you did, you could make it on the crime
report. You could also be in jail.
Yeah. Well, we've had some people doing dumb things, like trying to steal a Segway. Not that specifically, but stealing other stuff and other assorted shenanigans. So, want to hear about them?
I do.
Yeah, I really do. You really do? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Crime reports taken from the blog last week. You okay
what
there?
What are you announcing? Crime reports.
Why not?
I'm Carl Castle.
The worst theme song ever.
Crime reports. I'm trying to think of the theme
jail
song.
Jail cell closing sound, insert sound.
I was trying to handcuffs. Boom, boom. Do a jingle there.
Law and Order thing.
Sure, we could do that. We did that once before.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I'm not sure if you were here.
Oh.
Well,
anyway. Probably working on his play.
Probably was.
Why is the that's terrible to me.
Yeah. So anyway, while you do that, we got some good ones. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. There we go.
That's a terrible one.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That was low budget. No, we can do better than that.
Yeah, if you want, I'll just sit here and
here
wait.
Right. Happens really fast. Even that's low budget. Can you do? Oh, look, HD. Here we go.
In the criminal justice system, the people.
I give up.
Good effort.
What okay. Do you know? YouTube messed me over. Who would have thought that was going
to
happen?
Okay. An officer was dispatched to the hospital emergency room for a loud, combative, and intoxicated man. His family said he had been drinking and passed out. When they could not get him to wake up, they brought him to the ER. When they arrived at the front door, quote, he woke up and went crazy. He attempted to fight a hospital security guard and cursed the officer, and on the ride to jail, the man headbutted the cage in the patrol car.
To which point they had to turn around and go back to the hospital.
Probably so. He was charged with public drunkenness, public profanity, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and disturbing the peace.
I have issues with that. It's not his fault he was drunk in public. He was drunk at home, and they took him into public.
That's a good point.
That is not fair. That is.
But if you get yourself drunk to the point that people think you're possibly dead, then that's your fault.
If it's in your home, you do whatever you want to do. They took him to the hospital, and they made him drunk in public. That's not fair.
This reminds me of a story in high school. There was this guy. I'll not mention his name to protect the guilty.
Just change it.
He's a big guy, really big guy, but I think he plays on the football team. But he's just
call him Alex.
I know who you're talking about now.
No, you don't. You didn't go to high school with me.
As soon as you said big guy, it was there.
Anyway, the story went that one time he got really drunk.
We'll call him Chris Kiefer.
Chris Kiefer got really drunk.
Air quotes.
Air quotes, Chris Kiefer. Don't. This guy got really drunk. This was in high school in Louisiana. He got really drunk and caused some kind of disturbance. The cops pulled him into the car. He ripped out the cage.
Oh.
The cage between the back seat and the front with the officers ripped it out.
That was me.
If he was in high school with you, this was 40 years ago. They made those a whole lot cheaper back then.
It was the 90s.
It's the 90s.
What are you going to do? Okay, let's move on. A Tupelo woman said she broke up with her boyfriend after he choked her. Well, that would seem like just cause to breaking up. He damaged the bed, her clothes, and knocked 6 holes in the apartment wall. A little spackle will fix that. He also took her phone.
But not her heart, Brad.
Yeah, that's true. No, there's no spackle to fix the heart. He also took her iPhone and a 50-inch television. She called him and asked if she came by to get her belongings, if he would assault her. He said, maybe. So she called 911. So, yeah, maybe I'll assault you.
Don't do it. It's like a bad horror movie.
Don't do it.
Maybe basically means yes.
Men, just stop doing that to women.
Seriously.
Every time I hear about that, I'm like, your mother gave you better sense than that.
Right.
Or maybe he didn't have a mother. I don't know.
Well, that's no excuse.
Could be the problem.
Society's fault. That's what it is.
Exactly.
They say that it's okay.
We have another drunk person.
You meant here in the room with us.
Drunk people are fun. An intoxicated man was creating...
It's a terrible thing to say.
It's true. An intoxicated man was creating a problem outside of the West Main Walmart, the one I go to when I have to go to Walmart usually, I'm afraid.
Everything seems to happen at the West Main
Walmart.
Did he
steal anything through...
No, he told officers he'd been drinking all day and didn't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
He was arrested and charged with public drunkenness. He'd been drinking all day, hanging out at the Walmart. What's the big deal?
But what did he do? Did he do anything?
Caused a disturbance. Creating a problem is what it said.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
If he was just standing there, and then that's where the question was rising for me.
Yeah,
I want to know what the disturbance is. Was he trying to spin the plastic bag carousel thingy?
I don't know. Maybe really harassing fast? Customers. I don't know.
Yeah,
but he'd been drinking all day. And naturally, if you've been drinking all day, your first thought is, let's go hang out at Walmart.
The part it left out is he's a Walmart greeter, and he was actually on the clock.
in what time of day? There's a big difference in drinking all day at 8 a.m. and drinking all day
Walmart's open 24 hours.
Well, Derek, we have a call from line one for you from Walmart corporate offices.
Oh, yes. In Arkansas. They'd like to talk to you about your employment history.
Not for you. Huh? For assuming they employed drunkards as greeters.
No, I just wanted to know. Was he a Walmart greeter and that was the disturbance? As people were coming in, he wasn't saying, good morning, welcome to Walmart. Good morning, I'm drunk, welcome to Walmart. Is that what he was saying?
You know.
Terrible. Just don't drink and go out.
No, don't. Stay at home. Okay, finally, this one's a good one.
Or just don't drink.
No, you know. A Walls employee stopped a woman attempting to shoplift Miracle-Gro.
A woman?
A woman.
Okay.
Tried to shoplift a bag of Miracle-Gro.
Walls is fantastic.
I've never been there. Condoms, sunglasses, and a pack of Uno playing cards.
Got a big night ahead of her.
Miracle-Gro and condoms.
Yeah.
Do some planting.
Is that how it works?
Uno?
That's not how it works, guys. Miracle-Gro. They make pills for that.
Moving on.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, I've never been to Walls.
Is that it? Walls is good.
I'm sure it is. I've been meaning to go there.
As long as you don't mind seeing somebody trying to
shoplift
condoms and Miracle-Gro.
Yeah. That used to be a Walmart back in the day, didn't it?
That was the first Walmart
in Tupelo.
And then it was Bud's.
That's right, it was.
The first Walmart was where, what's that place called now? It was Hancock Fabrics. City Thrift.
Oh, okay.
That was Walmart.
Did not know that. Before my time here.
Yeah, the columns had orange shag carpet going up and down.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Fantastic. had those green stickers for the prices. You remember the green Walmart sticker prices?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember. You know, the brief time I worked there, I don't remember the color of the stickers.
That was before they had...
That was mid-90s.
You were before they had stickers? They didn't have it back then.
Shut up. Before stickers were invented.
Tape and
back
glue.
When I worked there.
Everybody just knew the price. They didn't need prices on them.
When I was a boy, didn't need prices.
Miracle-Gro wasn't the thing. You got in the soil and you planted your plants on your own.
You just bartered.
You watered them with your sweat.
Here are my tomatoes.
We till the land.
With our own feet.
I wasn't farming back in the day, Brad.
What? I didn't farm. My dad grew up on a farm.
Did?
So did my mom. Mm-hmm. My dad hated picking cotton. So that was so he.
Your dad's here with us now.
No. We've done that once already.
It was a good bit.
Yeah, it was. It was good.
Good times. I look forward to Mondays. To the point I almost wish we opened and closed the week with crime reports.
We could.
Any mugshots?
Let me look. Now that you mentioned it. We usually do have some pretty good mugshots here. There's a lady pretending that looks like she's asleep.
Yeah.
I love that when they catch them blinking. They're not the person taking the mugshot's like, yeah, it's fine. No, we don't need to take a second one. Your eyes are completely shut. This will be fine.
We know who you are.
If you're a wanted person, people will just look for the lady with her eyes closed in the future.
I heard that if you close your eyes...
That's profiling. Can you close your eyes for us?
People can't see you.
Shut up. That's right. Close your
eyes. That's good.
Okay. Let me see here. If we got another mugshot worth looking at. This lady seems really happy to be in jail, given one of those happy... Oh, you can see it, Derek.
Yeah.
Readers can't unless they go to tipsheet.djournal.com. Then you can.
She looks pleased with herself.
She does, yeah.
Any, nothing from the gentleman who rammed the cage with his head after he was forcibly drunk in public?
No, I didn't see anything of him, so.
That stinks to be forcibly drunk.
Entrapment, right?
Yeah, that is entrapment, basically.
By his family?
Yeah. Take him over that threshold of the house.
They're not getting any Christmas presents from him this year.
No, sir. Nope. No. Just righteous indignation.
Exactly.
That's all he's got for them.
Oh, hey we've got a special guest coming on the show on Wednesday, don't we?
Oh.
I meant to mention that before we get out of here.
And it won't be me.
No, it won't. You won't be here.
I will not be here.
Chris, who we got coming in?
Gerald Oden, superintendent of the Tupelo School District.
That's right.
That's a good get.
It is. Pretty good get.
It's a good get.
Yeah.
I'm sure Superintendent Oden will have many things to discuss about the... present state of Tupelo Public School District in the future.
Yeah, I'll probably talk about the bond project somewhat, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of other topics to cover.
The James Bond
projects? Did you hear about that?
It's top secret.
So you should not have heard about it.
I may need to blow off my Wednesday responsibilities and be here for this one.
What, are you working on a play or something?
How's the set coming along?
You know, that'll be over with in a week, but you'll still be 40, so we'll keep making jokes about you.
Thanks.
Hey, in all seriousness, so that is where Derek will be, is there'll be the first couple performances of Christmas Carol.
Two school performances Wednesday morning at 9 and 11 a.m., then both are sold out.
Nice.
But tickets are available for shows on Saturday, Friday night.
Saturday afternoon and Saturday matinee and the Saturday night performances. Some are still available for Friday, but not many. Thursday completely sold out.
So what he's saying is tickets are going fast. Get yours today.
844-1935. Call the Lyric box office. And you can see Daily Journal photographer Lauren Wood as Bob Cratchit's wife.
With the British accent.
She doesn't have a first name. She's just Mrs. Cratchit.
Oh, okay. She going to give a Sparty shout out during the middle of the play?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Some kind of just beat Bama in the curtain call or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Justin, her boyfriend from the audience, will probably yell Roll Tide.
Are they dating? I didn't know.
Yeah, they're dating. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Beat Bama! All right. Well, we will be back again on Wednesday. We will not. But Brad will be back
Wednesday.
I'll be here. And I guess Chris?
I'll be here.
Co-host, because Lauren and I will be missing in action. Okay. And hold down the fort for us, guys.
We'll try.
Do what I can.
Hey, need to follow us on Twitter, by the way.
I do.
At DJournal Memo, that's the show's Twitter. And I'm at Brad Locke.
I don't follow you.
With an E. Yeah, you do. Mm-mm. Your Twitter, Mr. Russell?
I don't follow you. At W. Derek Russell, I don't follow you.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Chris?
At Chris Kiefer.
I do follow Chris Kiefer.
With an E also.
Okay. At DJournal Now for all the latest news, sports, and entertainment. DJournal.com is the website.
Couple. Two. Two, yeah.
I had to think that through. It just comes naturally, you know?
It's got one E in my name, followed by another E in my name.
Couple F's.
Yeah. Okay. Good show, guys.
Good effort. Hands in. Everybody good day. Right.
One,
good
two, three, team. Memo. Yeah. Podgator.
Goodbye.